la superpoblación y el efecto invernadero que me mata de calor. Se pongan en contra de mi reproducción.
De amor y dolor, en la que eres actor y director. Según lo que creas más importante, así dirás que triunfaste o dirás que te frustraste.
Desde hace millones de años, vuelta, vuelta y otra vuelta más, y al final igualmente debes regresar a donde nadie espera o donde nadie tiene más. Después de tanto soñar con las estrellas, estarás con él.
Pues ya regresamos aquí a su programa Yuca Estéreo. Estamos tratando de, ¿no?, ponernos al corriente con todos los subtítulos y todo el rollo. Rápidamente escuchamos a El Desorden Público con el Dr. Schenka. Escuchamos una versión de 25 años del Canto Popular de la Vida y Muerte. Antes de eso escuchamos a Taco Bambú con Cacahuate. Y empezamos con Muchachito Bombo Inferno con su canción Azul. Y bueno, aquí seguimos otra vez con el Yuca Estéreo subtitulado. Entonces, para que se pongan al tiro con su inglés. All right, so we are back with our magnificent. I forgot the name of your production company. I just know that it ends with 69.
And that's good enough.
69.
Just kidding.
I just know that it ends with 69 and that's it.
Yeah. And that was a marketing tool because, you know, we were actually called just Splatter Films for an entire year. But as soon as we put 69 at the back of our name, we got so many more Google hits. Of course, we had a couple men who were asking if we made other kind of movies, and we were like, no, we do monster movies, creature features, but yeah, It was just a marketing tool. That worked really well in our favor. Just adding a number 69 at the end of splatter films.
Yeah, that is tricky anyway. But it was good, I think. I remember that even from, you know, anyway. So I think we were going to talk about the upcoming movie, whatever we can know about it, because I know a lot of it is secret. So I don't know what... I don't know what you can share about. Oh, actually, okay. Leo wanted to talk about... Well, let's talk about the bands, I guess, in your movies. Yeah. You were going to say an anecdote and then... Or a trivia fact, and then we can go to...
Okay.
Yeah, no to Leo, whatever.
With me, I always get local bands, local talent, everything I do. So... A lot of times bands sometimes think I'm a big promoter. Like someone's like, are you a virgin or something? And I was like, no. because I walk in always wearing these like flashy three-piece suits that I kind of have a lot of them custom made for myself for when I'm on the red carpet. Because at a film festival, men always wear blue or black suits. But if you have a suit that's three or four different colors, I've had suits where it's blood splatter over the whole three-piece suit. I've had music notes made over a whole suit. That makes more people just want to talk to you about your movie. So, again, it was just a marketing tool I sort of did, and I just stepped with the three-piece flashy sort of suits. And then I would go to local venues and bands. I even went to, like, community centers and everything, and I'd be like, oh, your sound's all right. Do you have anything recorded, like original stuff? I don't want to take anything that's not original. I want original because I'm looking for original new songs that I could put in like some independent feature films. And I only actually ever had one person say no, and it's because they didn't like monster movies, but every other person like kind of jumped on the gun. And I would usually take one artist and make them do every song for the whole movie. So I only have one artist doing the songs for like all an entire movie. So I kind of do that, and it really helps promote the artists, and I sort of do like a little contract thing with them. I was like, well, I'll promote you, you promote me, and we'll cross each other through all platforms, whether it's like Spotify or whether it's like YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, like whatever, like X is a big one for film. So I always try to grab all these local musicians, and sometimes I sort of shocked people. I actually helped one group change their name to a new name, and their new name is actually much easier, and people like it a lot more because they were kind of like, they were really like, half of them wanted to be grunge, and the other half wanted to be like Neil Young. So they were really kind of like a really different sort of band. They would have like two songs that were like grunge and two songs that sounded like something Neil Young would do. So they were originally like the New West Dirtbags, which I said, you guys got to change the name. I said, how about New West Rockers? And then, you know, that'll stand out more. And then they ended up changing their name, and it actually worked out well for them. And three artists that have actually worked with me literally ended up getting a record deal after working on my film. So that worked as a benefit for a group called the New Cinematics and a group called Dynamite.
New Cinematics. Big fan of the New Cinematics.
Yeah, they're a very original sort of urethral sort of vocals. They studied opera. So these are girls who studied opera, who played piano, violin, and like classical sort of guitar. And then they just all combined it into this like gothic themed, like opera sort of style. Like it's very, very original. Some of it's kind of almost very romantic, but in a gothic sort of side. And they dress up like kind of like vampire girls too, which kind of, again, is their sort of flair to sort of sell them. So, yeah, that sort of worked. And then another group is called Dynamite Karate Ninjas, which, again, that's a really cool name for a group. But it's pretty much like sort of like a one-man sort of show. And he kind of does everything. He plays the bass, the guitar, and the drums, and he records, mixes, puts everything together himself. And he does kind of comedy rock sort of songs. And he's actually done theme songs for two of my films. He did Skunk Ape, and he did Mutant Yeti, which is a new one that I have coming out like literally on Monday morning, like tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow I have a new one. And Andrew literally was the mutant yeti, so we literally had Andrew dressed
stand
up.
Stand up for a second, just for sakes of it. To see how tall you are, Andrew.
Yeah.
Stand up. Oh my god, no, this guy is pretty tall, eh?
And handsome.
Yeah, so yeah.
On top of it, did you have, like, the added...
Well, the thing with Andrew being, like, basically 7 feet is that makes a perfect Bigfoot. We don't really have to add stilts because initially we had a guy who was the same height as me, 5'6", and wearing stilts running through the park. Now, that doesn't always work out well because there's a lot of trees and things to trip over and fall in the park.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So with Andrew, it was a much more safer. So, yeah, he's numerous times sort of played the monster. But also in some films, he played the monster as well as the police captain and different stuff like that. And we had his whole face gouged out in one film. Yeah, he gets killed a lot, but he always comes back in a different movie.
Oh, my God.
That reminds me of somebody, but anyway.
And Simon's died every time except for once, so yeah.
Did you feel bad when you didn't die, Simon?
No, actually, that was quite...
Get
actually,
way, closer, way closer, way closer. There you go.
Right. Yeah, that was actually quite interesting, because I'm like, oh, I actually survived till the end of the film, you know? Like, it was really... Because I'm thinking, if you die in every movie, you're pretty much like Sean Bean, right? Everyone knows Sean Bean, an actor. He dies pretty much in everything, but yeah.
See, actually... now there's space for a sequel.
Well, he can be revived in many, 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 sure. many ways, but on this one, like, yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to ask about you. Well, not you personally, but, you know, your character. Like, yeah. What happened to Jonah or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where is he now?
Well, yeah, the end of Skunk Ape was kind of, like, left actually open. And it was the first time I left a movie open, like an open ending sort of thing. So I literally had that there's a second Skunk Ape walking around in the forest at the end. So the Skunk Ape is literally Florida's version of Bigfoot. So Florida has their own little version of Bigfoot where it's more of a gorilla with really long arms that kind of touch the ground sort of thing. So it's more like a gorilla that escaped from the zoo and then sort of started having gorilla babies. And that's how the sort of skunk ape thing sort of is in like Florida. So in the Florida swamps. And he supposedly eats little baby alligators and stuff. So yeah, we literally had that the skunk ape ate everything and there's nothing else left. So they start eating people. So that's literally what we kind
of
did.
And don't forget about the smell.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. So we're always like, yeah, it something smells bad. And they're like, did you fart? So it became a big, like, fart joke throughout the entire film set. So, yeah, which added a little comedy. And, yeah. So people kind of said there's a few things you can always expect from one of my films. And that's there's always one fart joke. And there's always loads of gore. And sort of like extreme violence in that sense. So we've never won like a best script or anything like that, although I'd like to at some point. But at this point, we're getting a, like makeup awards and that sort of stuff at film festivals and costume designs. And ironically, predominantly, our films are playing in Asian film festivals across Canada, the States, and Germany, which is kind of odd. But yeah, Germany ended up liking us, so yeah. Maybe I'll end up going to Germany at some point too, so yeah.
That's, yeah, it's interesting how that works with, yes, well, your fans, your whatever. I wanted to ask you on air, like, so what were you, did you think all the time to do like the, what happened after the first Bigfoot movie? Like, why a second, and then, you know. Why a third and on and on and on?
The second Bigfoot movie was actually a sequel to the first one. And the first one I made was called I Believe in Bigfoot. So I kind of said, I don't want to do like a found footage movie, but I want to do something like, you know, I made it like four people and like one guy and three girls. And everyone had a friend that went missing in the forest, and everyone believes it was Bigfoot, so everyone thinks they're crazy. So then they end up going out on a camping trip trying to find Bigfoot, basically. And they end up finding Bigfoot and kind of hunting Bigfoot down and fighting Bigfoot. And in the end, it's literally me playing the main character, so I'm the only one still left alive. Bigfoot killed everybody else. And we ended it, filming it in... There's like a high-rise lookout point that they have in the park, and it sort of overlooks all of Burnaby, and a lot of people don't know about this place, but it's kind of sitting inside Deer Lake, and they actually closed it down, and it's a high-rise for, like, a bird-watching group, so it's supposed to only really be for them, but they kind of closed it down and let us sort of use it for 2 days, and we filmed, and literally we do the ending of the movie where Bigfoot literally punches me in the nads, and I scream, which was sort of like a comical, sort of like girly scream that we put in the movie. And it made everyone laugh towards the end. And then I ended up hitting Bigfoot with my gun. And he literally fell 35 feet off the top of this high rise and literally hit the ground. And we put, they built a whole costume to literally take the impact. But it was still like when it hit the bottom, it kind of like sort of like half exploded too, which ended up actually looking pretty good. And, yeah, then me kind of limping down, holding my crotch because Bigfoot got me bad in the nads. And, yeah, so I always put a little bit of humor. And then part two is I'm in jail and everyone thinks I went crazy and killed everyone. And an entire team of FBI and police go into the forest, like basically 12 police officers and FBI. So I kind of made it like, okay, the first one's like one creature. The second movie, we'll do it like aliens. So we make it like a whole big team going in to hunt everything down. And they all think they're looking for a bear, and it turns out to be two Bigfoots. So I wanted to be more shocking with the sequel, and the sequel actually did better and made more than the first one. It was actually my first sort of like big hit, I guess I would say. Because we made a female Bigfoot costume, and we put her for size F boobs. We built these big hairless boobs, and people said as soon as that hit the screen, they're like, what the hell am I watching? So it kind of made people like, what? And then, yeah, so in that movie, Simon had his head hair ripped off, and his brain was showing on the top of his head, and he was a police officer who died. Andrew had the whole side of his face, like, gouged right off. And, yeah, we had another guy where we filled his stomach with, like, pig guts. And we cut them all open, and like pig guts flopped out and hit the ground. So I use a lot of real organs too, like stomach, kidneys, spleen, all internal organs from a pig. I literally put inside chest and split everything open and let it all hit the ground. So kind of, like I said, people kind of know me as gory. So they literally said that movie, every 3.5 minutes, a new police officer dies. And it's literally, like, very kind of gruesome and kind of action-y and a lot of shooting and stuff. We didn't get to do one thing I wanted to do because we were denied from the local fire department about having explosives in the park. So it was the only thing I wanted to do that I couldn't do. I'm hoping still in the future I want to light Bigfoot on fire. So, yeah. It's just an idea I had. I thought it would be super cool.
It has to be a controlled environment. Well, you know,
they told us use
the green screen, man.
They green told screen us for in the future scene. A good thing. If I can hire two members of the fire department to come and watch us on set, they'll permit us to do it, but it has to be an area where there's a circular area where the ground's all burnt out so it can't burn anymore.
Yeah, or sand or whatever, dirt, whatever it is.
So it looks like they might actually say yes to me kind of achieving that. And then literally, I would use styrofoam mixed with, like, maybe I should not. I won't say that in air because kids might try stuff.
I'll delete, yeah. We'll bleep the podcast, so don't worry about it. It's going to be 40 seconds of beep.
Yeah.
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, and it was a really crazy day. It was the only movie I made where I had to hire multiple makeup artists because in one day we were having 2 to 3 people literally having all the makeup, sometimes more than at one time, the same thing. So, yeah, it was very challenging, and it did well, and they kind of asked me to... My distributor asked me to, make another I Believe in Bigfoot movie. And I was like, I don't know. And he also asked me to do another frog monster movie. So I grew up making costumes for movies. So that was the only training I ever had for movie-wise. So that's why I build all the costumes for these movies. But now I write, produce, direct. I get, like, all the hats on top. But I couldn't do that if it wasn't for guys like Simon, Andrew, and Rose here who are now, like, helping me to do everything. Because I need those other people, not just to make sure that I can make the entertainment that I do, but to make it that I broaden the horizons and bring more cultural aspects into my movies. Like in one film, I have 6 different languages spoken in one movie. And I put subtitles for each language. So I put English and then like Korean on top, or English on the bottom and Japanese. And I just put like all the different languages and just had like 1 or 2 scenes here and there. And yeah, I sort of, that's why my films have played well at the Asian film festivals, because I always put those scenes that add the different cultural value in the language and stuff. And people say, a lot of people can make a movie, have a scene, but they're not actually putting like that, a nation's language, like how you would write that language, the characters, whether it's Japanese or Chinese.
Yeah,
or
the proper,
Korean.
The proper.
Yeah, so I always get someone that knows how to properly write, because I don't know how to write those languages. So I get someone that knows how to do it. It's their background, and they help me to put that within the film. So I do that with everything. And actually, Meat Cleaver Campout Massacre Part 2, Nightmares, actually has 3 lines in Spanish, actually, because we actually use Alberto Anfredo. He's working on his second novel right now, but he actually wrote a Spanish horror novel. So I figured, what better to do in a slasher movie than take a bunch of horror writers and let them play themselves and then let them die in a slasher film? Like, that I just thought was sort of original. And then that worked again as a bonus, because they were all like, oh, you know, I wrote this and this. You know, and I had Julie Tinder. She's a horror novelist lady from Calgary. I had her in the film and stuff too. So I put like actual real horror writers playing themselves, and I got them to get killed. So that was kind of like something that was a first too. And I always try to get different venues and different types of people to sort of blend everything together, so we can work well together to sort of not just build a team. Like I tell everyone, I feel like we're like more like family. I may do a lot more talking, because they say I'm better at the talking, but like, you know, you always have that one loudmouth in your family, and I guess I'm maybe that in this family. No. And Andrew's kind of like our crazy dad who like kind of like, well, we're not doing that sometimes, but yeah.
No, it's all good. Okay, speaking about the devil, we're going to go and play some more music. Okay. And then, yeah, well, maybe we can be back and then have a little more or something.
Sounds
but
great.
Anyway, we'll be back. Let's play some more music aquí en Yuca Stereo. Thank you.
Yo sé.